The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so this is the last Rambam B'Kiddush here that I know of until Sukkos. And so we're going to try to answer the question that we raised last week. Okay, I assume you did not hear. Okay, so the question, there's different ways to ask the question, but the way we asked it this year is that the Rambam starts off in Tshuva. Let me go here in Tshuva by saying that all the mitzvahs of the Torah, whether asay or lo asay, if you transgress one of them, then when you do tshuva, you return from your chayt, then you're chayav to do vidui, right? And the implication, even though he says it's a mitzvah to do vidui, the implication is that tshuva is relevant for all mitzvahs, okay? All of taryag, okay? But then in Perek Shvi'i, in Halacha Gimel, he says, don't say that tshuva is only from averos that have an action, like znus, gezel, and geneva. Just like a person needs to do tshuva from those, so too he needs to analyze his bad deos that he has and to do tshuva from them, from anger, from hatred, from jealousy, from competition, from fooling around, from chasing after money, from chasing after kavod, from chasing after other food, foods and stuff like that. From all these things, he needs to do tshuva. And then he says, these avonos are harsher than the ones that involve action, because when you're sunken in these, it's difficult to separate. And that's why it says, Yazav Rasha Arkov Ishav Nakshav Asav. So our question was kind of twofold. One is, wouldn't you already know? Okay, well, sorry, back up. One of the question stems from the fact that there is a mitzvah in Taryag called the Halakhta Bidrachav, and that mitzvah is to get good midos and to get rid of bad midos, or deos, I mean, right? So just like God is called Rachum, so too you should be Rachum, et cetera, et cetera. And you should get rid of your extreme deos and then go in the middle path. So that's one of taryag. So one question is, since you have to do tshuva on all taryag, and since bad deos is a violation of one of taryag, then wouldn't you already know that you have to do tshuva from them? And then the second question is, practically speaking, what is the difference between being mekayim the mitzvah of halacha bidrachav and being mekayim this category of tshuva from deos raos? Okay. So you had an answer last time.
Yeah. Where I said halakhta bidrachav is like a positive thing. And to do teshuva, you need to like first shed a negative and then you can move into the positive.
Right. And I think we also said last time that a person could ostensibly do halakhta bidrachav without tshuva, right? So like, let's say, for example, you are really, really, let's say you can't control your eating, right? And then you say, oh, well, that's, I want to go on a diet, right? Mm-hmm. So you go on a diet. That doesn't necessarily involve tshuva and like, going through the whole process of like seeing what the bad causes of the other thing were, you just hear that you want to do this. So you could do one without the other. Yeah. Okay. So that was the approach we took last week. Okay. So Isaac, do you have an approach or,
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Or at least part of an approach. Sure. I think the reason he needs to specify this is that it's not clear when you're being mevatel the mitzvah of halacha bidrachav.
Okay,
like you would say, maybe I'm a little bit more to one side than the other, but a person wouldn't like, it's hard to realize this is an actual like violation of this commandment,
Okay, so what question are you answering with that? That's definitely a good observation.
That's entering why he needs to specify this.
Okay, right. What do you say about that? It's difficult to know when you violate this one. Because the problem, to expand the question here, is here's a question, okay? When he first starts off, he says, don't say that there's only tshuva from averos that have an action, right? Then he says, just like you need to do tshuva on those, you need to do tshuva on your bad deos. Does that encompass, aren't there other averos that don't have an action?
I mean, there's other averos that are like, a law of shein but maisa.
Right.
Because it's like not substantive. Like actually, the thing that you did is not substantive.
Right.
But here, this is something where it's just your state of being.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that is so what I mentioned last time when Chaim gave his answer, that the answer that we heard from Rebbe was similar. What Isaac's saying now is also similar to what Rebbe said in a different way, which is that your tshuva has to do with changing the gavra himself and undoing flaws in him, as opposed to like with these other averos, it's actions that you do that are violations of the system. Here, it is a unique situation in which having these bad deos is you know, it happens to be a violation of the system, but also it is a distancing you from God, you know, and tshuva involves correcting that. Yeah, David?
Don't know what to make of this.
Yeah.
There is also the fact that, say, when you were in a state of not having done Avera and you've done Avera,
yeah,
versus this has been a character that you've been living with your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being shoved from something,
yeah,
returning from it, I think there is what to say of like returning when I wasn't in a state of Avera, now I am in a state of Avera, now going back to not being in a state of Avera.
Okay.
When this was constantly what I was the whole time, it is a little weird to say returning, because there's no like what you have gone back.
Okay, so I'll give this, give over this pshat, which I don't know. Okay, I don't know if it's a pshat or a drush, but there's a question that Rabbi Zucker raised on an okay. There's certain resources that just like are lost to time / like on DVDs in my closet. Rabbi Zucker for a while was the head of education at the OU. Okay, and he did a crash course in like Q&As for NTSY advisors, where he gave like 10 to 15 minute shiurim on like all the fundamental areas that NTSY, you know, what are teenagers like asked, you know? So I remember this from watching those DVDs. We should put them on YouTube, but I got to ask his permission. So he pointed out that you asked the average Jew, what does teshuva, the word teshuva, literally mean? Return, right? So what are you returning to?
I was thinking like God or like the path.
Okay, right. So either it's going to be God, and we have the lot of psukim that say, shuv Yisrael ad Hashem elokecha, ki kishar tov b'necha, or it's returning to the good path, right? But if you look through Tanakh, you'll find instances where teshuva is used in the opposite way, which is v'shavtem me'acharei Hashem. You have returned away from God, or v'shavtem to avodah zarah. So the question now is like, what is the sense of return then, you know? So the answer he gave is he drew a diagram, which when I was trying to do this with a student I was tutoring, I tried drawing on the Zoom whiteboard, and it just was way too labor intensive. So I'm just going to go like this, okay? Picture. Oh, that's true.
The not expo black marker.
Use the what?
The not expo black marker or the red one.
The not expo black marker. We're trying to erase this?
Yeah.
Okay. Not expo black marker. So like I shouldn't.
But you should use that one.
You should use the quartet one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So most people have a thing. I don't know if you can. Oh, not quite. Okay. Is it reversed? I don't even know. Okay. So most people conceive of tshuva like this. You start with a ra and then you go to the tov. Okay. Right. But then once you see from Tanakh that it can go the other way, then you can't use that model anymore. So the idea that Rabbi Zucker gave is you have bechira, and tshuva is either a return, from the ra to a point of bechira, and then using your bechira to be bilkar b'tov, or starting from the tov and then going back to bechira and then being bilkar b'ra.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Okay, so
tshuva is returning to bechira.
To bechira, yeah, which is why. Not symbolically, but why the middle of Hilchos Tshuva is Bechira, not because it's in the middle, but like, but because it's central, not symbolically, to the process of Tshuva, you know, and why did I bring this up? Because what did you say?
I was working with Shav being returned.
Oh, right. Oh, right. So you're saying that if you already had this bad day your whole life, then it's weird to use the term tshuva for correcting it.
Yes.
Right. And I'm trying to show how that's not necessarily the case. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good idea. Okay. But here's, so I'll give you my approach to this question here. So what is the difference? So I'm not going to answer the question of, wouldn't you already know that you have to get rid of your bad deos from the fact that a halakhta bedrachav is a mitzvah? I'm going to answer the question of what is the difference between halakhta bedrachav and tshuva on bad deos. Okay. So the difference is lies in what the halacha bedrachav is. Okay, what is, I mean, the mitzvah, practically speaking, the halacha bedrachav is to get good midos, right? But what's like the I guess, the tam or the objective of that mitzvah? Yeah, the halacha bedrachav is this mitzvah to, just as God is called merciful, so too you should be merciful, just as he's called gracious, you know, etc. You should emulate all of his attributes, quote unquote, right? So the question is, what is the, what's the purpose of that mitzvah? And if you think about it, it's a little weird. Why does the Torah say, why doesn't the Torah just have a mitzvah of like, vasisa tov v'hayashar, hayashar v'atov, right? Just do good stuff. Why does it put it in terms of emulating God? Yeah.
To be not working and living in your framework, but working in what you would call God's framework.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can have the greater knowledge of things outside of yourself.
Okay, good. That's definitely a big part of it. Yeah.
I was going to say something similar, like with your framework, it's all subjective.
Uh-huh. Correct. Yeah.
Subjective value.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right. So the purpose is that, and the Rambam says this at the end of, let me go to my mock store, cheat sheet. For those who listen to my Yoga Momidos Harachamim Shir, which you should definitely do before Yom HaKippur. I'm telling you, like, if there's one thing you listen to, if all the Torah I've ever given in this yeshiva, listen to that before Yom HaKippurim, because it will make your Yoga Momidos, like your kapara, you know, will be enhanced on that. Whatever kapara is, hopefully we'll find out tomorrow. But the Rambam ends off by saying, once you listen to it, I can print you out the cheat sheet, but I'm not going to give you a cheat sheet unless you listen to the shir, because that would be cheating. In the very end of the Morning of Bukhim, he says, the prophet thus in conclusion says, for in these is my desire, the word of Hashem, i.e. Oh, so this is, again, this is my, the pasuk. Let me show you the pasuk. Yeah, this is, I know I quote this pasuk a lot. Two pasukim. Yirmiyahu 9:22. Got to get t-shirts made. Yirmiyahu 9. Then you couldn't go into the bathroom. What? Okay. Komar Hashem. Right? This is the only thing you could praise yourself for. Comprehending and knowing me, because I am Hashem, who does kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. Because in these is my desire, says Hashem. So the Rambam at the end of the Morning of Bukhim says, and I quote this on my Sunday shir, my object in saying this is that you shall practice chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah on earth. In the similar manner, we have shown in 154, which I brought together, which you don't have time to read, that the purpose of the enumeration of God's 13 attributes is the lesson that we should acquire similar attributes and act accordingly. The object of the above passage is therefore to declare that the perfection in which man can truly glory is attained by him when he has acquired, as far as this is possible for man, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his hashgacha, and the manner in which it influences his creatures in their production and continued existence. Having acquired this knowledge, he will then be determined always to seek chesed, mishpat, and tzedakah, and thus to imitate the ways of God. Okay, so the halacha bedrachav is essentially, when you pursue Yedias Hashem, see how he operates and conducts the universe, and you become a vehicle of implementing that in areas where it is lacking, you know, because you have free will and you have an intellect and you can apprehend that. So it's way beyond tshuva. Okay, this is a similar move to what you're making, but I'm explaining it based on the contents of the mitzvah. You know, that tshuva is correcting flaws, okay, and perfecting yourself and removing the distortions. But deos goes way beyond that, which is emulating God and is the ultimate result of your knowledge of God. You know, that you should be seeking knowledge of God in a way that leads you to emulate his actions. And so the you could look at it as a Venn diagram, that if you do the process of tshuva, that's going to correct certain deos and give you good deos, which will be in line with the mitzvah of halacha bedrachav. Or if you do the halacha bedrachav, that's going to involve correcting certain bad midos. But the halacha bedrachav takes you further into being like the perfected human being of like fully, like in other words, fully striving to implement God's will through your actions and through who you become, becoming an instrument of the Ratzon Hashem, you know, in the world. So it's a different, the nature of the process is different, even though there's overlap with Hilchos Deos. And this was my pshat. There was a question that was raised of why does the Rambam invent this word Deos? Okay, because what's the normal term that normal people use for midos, right? And midos means measures, right? So when we went through, I didn't listen to this year yet, but when we went through this in 2021 in April, the question, you know, we had this question, why is the Rambam called him Deus? And we had two theories. Okay, one theory was that the Rambam is acknowledging like the cognitive behavioral dimension of Deus, that bad like character traits stem from a distorted way of viewing reality. So like, let's say you have this characteristic of like, you know, greed or whatever, or covetousness, you know, there it's stemming. It's not just a psychological thing. It is stemming from this irrational premise that I am more deserving of the goods of this world than you are, you know, or like you are somehow like less than me, you know, or let's say anger. If you're struggling with anger, you know, anger occurs when you demand that reality go in line with your desires. So you have this like megalomaniacal like view of yourself in reality. So that was one theory of Deus. And if I'm articulating it correctly, that's Rabbi Feder's preferred explanation. Okay. I'm just going to say mine just to contrast it. My understanding is that Deus, the reason why the Rambam calls them Deus is because of this exact idea that if you just call them mitos, so then you have ethical perfection and you have perfection of intellect, and they're two separate realms. You know, maybe you'll say that perfection of mitos is like, you know, instrumental to perfection of intellect. But what the Rambam is doing is by rebranding perfection of mitos as Deus, he's showing you that the whole Judaism's whole approach to Deus revolves around Yedias Hashem, that the only way we have knowledge of God is through his actions, which are Deus, right? Rachum, Chanun, Erech Chaim, Rav Chesed Emes. And the ultimate result of our knowledge of God should be cultivating Deus. So he rebrands them as Deus to make them part, to show how they're part and parcel of the package of Judaism's primary value, which is Yedias Hashem, that the only way to know God is through his Deus, through his actions, and the result of your knowledge of God is emulating them. So that's my preferred explanation of Deus. Yeah, Yehoshua.
Can you pause the recording for this question?
Yes, I can. Yeah, go ahead.
So just one more point about Deus that we said in 2021 when we did it, Deus, like the Deus that you should cultivate, it's not just like in the middle between two extremes. Mm-hmm. The Rambam describes it as far from each extreme,
right?
Which we said was that
equidistant from the two extremes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but it's not just that it's equidistant. It's that you aren't being governed by either extreme.
Right, yeah, that's the essence of Deus, and that's why you're called a chacham if you're in the middle, because you have complete emotional fluidity, which means you're not pulled in either direction by any of your psychological characteristics or by any aspect of your personality. You do what you're able to do whatever chachma demands. And then the question is, why would you ever? That's not the highest level. The highest level is a chassid. Yeah, is incline one way to the other side, and that's the whole other question. Let's learn all Deus again. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us, Isaac.
Thank you.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.